St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Way back in a previous career, I worked at the Naval Shipyard in Charleston after I got out of the Navy. And I did the same job, basically, in the shipyard that I did in the Navy. I repaired the radar systems on the ships and the submarines. And when you're working on the ships and you're working on the radars, that means sometimes you have to go work on the antenna for the radar. And that means you're going to have to climb all the way to the top of the ship's mast. I was kind of an odd duck when it came to that because I loved going all the way up to the top of the ship's mast. First of all, it was always much cooler up there in the summertime because you had a breeze that would be blowing. Second of all, you can do your work up there and no one's going to come by and bother you. You're all the way up on the top of the ship. I remember, though, one particular day, we had a new man in our shop, and he was assigned to work with me on a day that I was going to work on one of the ships that were under overhaul. I was going to work on a radar antenna, and I told him, come on, we have to go. And when I showed him where we were going, he got a little nervous. He didn't like heights. But I convinced him, you know, this is something you're going to have to conquer. You're going to have to get over this because this is part of our job. And if we don't do it, somebody else is going to have to. But it's our job, so we're going to go up there. Well, we got up to the top of that mast. You know, I started unpacking my tools and I started working on this. And I turned around and I noticed he was clinging on to that steel mast like this. He was giving that thing a bear hug. This guy was afraid. He was deathly afraid of heights. And so I put down everything that I had in my hands. I put down my tools and I turned around. I looked at him. I tried to assure him as best I could that he's safe. The safety equipment that we're wearing is, you know, is good. It works. We have plenty of room up there on the platform to do the things we need to do. Plus, this thing is made out of steel. It's not going anywhere. And to show him just how safe it was, I began to shake it back and forth like that. You know, those things wobble pretty good. And that was pretty much the wrong thing to do. The only thing I could do after that was tell him, okay, just stay put. I'll take care of what we got to do. Whatever you do, just don't look down. So what do you think he did? You know, when you're up on top of a ship's mast and you look down, it looks a lot higher than what it really is, especially if you're afraid of heights. You know, you ever notice that when you're in a place like that or, you know, somewhere scary, you're afraid of heights, people always tell you don't look down. What's the first thing you do? You look down. You notice nobody ever tells you when you're walking along the street or something like that, whatever you do, don't look up. You know, looking up doesn't, you know, that's not a big deal. Looking down could mean life or death. So I guess, you know, down is bad, up is good. In our gospel text today, we have a down and we have an up. In our gospel text, we hear of two instances where Jesus healed someone. In the first encounter, he encountered a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician woman, whose daughter was possessed by an evil spirit, by an unclean spirit or a demon. And in the initial exchange of words, you can say, you know, as you read her plea for Jesus to heal her daughter, and then Jesus says, but it's not right to give the children's food to the dogs. You can say, in some sense, Jesus looked down on her. He took exception to what she was asking for. And he let her know in no uncertain terms about her worthiness of the miracle she was asking for. Jesus was in Gentile territory. He was a Jew. She was a Gentile woman. She's not even supposed to be talking to a Jewish man. Yet Jesus says to her, let the children eat first, for it's not right to throw their food to the dogs. This woman, however, is still concerned for her daughter, and she begs Jesus, and she lifts up the obvious answer to him, but even the dogs, sir, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. You know, that made sense. And whether Jesus was looking down on this woman or not, no one could argue with the statement that she made. She answered Jesus wisely. Even the crumbs from the table that fall from the master's table, feeding the children, even those crumbs are the same precious food. It's the same quality of food. In the other healing story that we have in our text today, several people, again, in another area of Gentile territory, several people brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And as this was, you know, again, in Gentile territory, Jesus could have looked down on the man, but he didn't. This time, Jesus took the man off in private, and he put his fingers in the man's ear, he touched his tongue, and then he looked up. He looked up towards heaven, and he sighed, and he told the man, be open. And he cured his speech. He opened his ears. Both of these miracles happened in Gentile territory. Jesus addressed the needs of others as they were brought to him or as they came to him. These people whose society that Jesus was from, the society that deemed unworthy to receive such a miracle. You know, as we read these two and we consider Gentile territory and people's worthiness or their unworthiness, it's amazing how our current society mirrors that of the first century. Today, we notice no matter where we go, we just seem to, at the drop of a hat, recognize the barriers that are set up between people. We have these lines of distinction, if you will. These lines of distinction drawn between us and those who are different. And, you know, depending on where you are, no matter, you know, however bold those lines of distinction are, you might tend to shy away from those people who are so much different than you. People who are of a different race or of a different background, perhaps those who are dirty, perhaps those who are poor, perhaps they live on the street. In our second lesson, James tells us don't come to such distinctions. Don't draw those lines between others. Don't set up these barriers. He tells us that we would do well to keep the commandment that Jesus taught us, to love our neighbor. But too often, as we come across our neighbor, especially those people who are so much different than us, who look so much different, who are so dirty or poor, sometimes, you know, when an act of generosity would be our best response, we are prone to look down or maybe even cross a street or go the other way. And even if we do come to their aid, perhaps we offer them only crumbs. It seems that throughout the ages, people who live in the margins of society, they've always been looked down upon. And the privileged, it seems, turn a blind eye to avoid these encounters, those awkward moments of confrontation. I remember up in Salisbury, right there by where the supermarket was that everybody went to, there's only one road in and one road out. And Salisbury has a huge homeless population. And of course, two or three homeless men would always set up right there at the stoplight. You had to encounter them. You couldn't just simply escape by going another way. There was only one entrance and one exit out of this supermarket. You were going to encounter someone much different than you. You know, as we heard often in the past few weeks, Jesus promises that whoever believes in him will never be hungry. Those who follow him will never be thirsty. Jesus promises to cure our infirmities. He promises to feed all those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. He promises to forgive the sins of all those who believe. He promises that he will extend God's mercy and grace to all people, regardless of who they are. And that's because of one simple fact: Jesus is Savior for all people. Jesus didn't just come to save a certain number of folks. Jesus came that the world might be reconciled unto God. His mercy transcends culture. It transcends racial barriers. It transcends all these barriers that we set up between the different groups of people. Christ shows us in these two encounters today, the encounter with the Syrophoenician woman and this man who's deaf and mute, he shows us that God's love, mercy, and grace transcends all of these barriers. With the Syrophoenician woman, we can say her persistence prevailed and she finally got her way. Even though Jesus looked down on her, she remained persistent. But it isn't that the woman outsmarted Jesus. Rather, it's that she actually listened to what he said. Jesus told her the truth. Her station and his station, she was breaching the gap, and he said, "It isn't right that the children, you know, that let the children eat first. It isn't right that we take their food and throw it to the dogs. It isn't right that we take the food off the plate of the children and give it to somebody else." And she said, "But Master, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their table." She listened to what Jesus said. More importantly, she listened to what Jesus did not say. Jesus did not say that the dogs could not eat. He assured her, even the crumbs will be available. You know, as you consider the crumbs that fall from the Master's table, you know, it doesn't take much for us to make this leap into understanding what Jesus is talking about is the bread of life. We just came from this long reading of John's Gospel, the Bread of Life Discourse, and he gives himself away as food for the hungry. It doesn't take much of a leap to make that to make that connection of what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the bread of life. You know, aren't the crumbs of the bread of life still bread of life? Aren't they still the same thing? There's so many stories that we have in the Gospels about the abundance of God's mercy and grace. If you take a look at this story in Matthew's Gospel, you'll find that it's sandwiched right in between the feeding of the 5,000 and another miraculous feeding of 4,000 people. And in both of those stories, Jesus multiplies a few loaves of bread and a handful of fish, and he creates a large banquet to feed a multitude, and the baskets of food that are left over. It's amazing. Could those baskets be crumbs of grace? Could those baskets be the food that falls from the master's table? Imagine if that were so. We'd have to ask ourselves in the midst of all that, but are we worthy to receive such a banquet? We too, after all, are Gentiles. We're the same station of the Syrophoenician woman. We come from the same place as the deaf and mute man. We're the same as them. We are all sinners in need of God's redemption. We are all sinners who fall short of God's expectations for us. And thus we are all invited to come and be fed from the Master's table so that we can begin to understand the magnitude of God's grace and mercy. We're all invited to come to God's table and experience the full measure of God's love. And make no mistake, we come to the table just as this Gentile woman did. She came to Jesus, all she had to offer was herself. She couldn't buy Jesus' love. She couldn't buy a miracle for her daughter. She came in lowly in status. You know, people looked down upon her. Perhaps we come to the table also lowly in status, offering Jesus the only thing that we have, our sinful, empty hands. When we come to Christ, we come as the deaf man, the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. You know, we have imperfect speech. We don't always speak the truth. We don't always speak the truth of God in love. We don't always say pleasant things or complimentary things about our neighbor. Sometimes we speak a word of untruth, or if we hear a word of untruth, we turn a deaf ear to the commands of Jesus Christ to love one another. We turn a deaf ear and we worry about our own safety and well-being. You know, we don't want to follow Jesus all the time. Sometimes what's more important is our own will. When we come before Christ at his table, we ask that God would look upon us. We ask that God would look upon us, that he would heal us, that he would forgive us, that he would restore us to new life. It doesn't matter if Jesus looks down on us or looks up towards heaven. What matters is that Jesus looks upon us at all. Excuse me. That he looks upon us at all. You know, people of God, as we begin our worship this, you know, every morning, and we did again this morning, we say things like, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with a few of you. That's not how it goes, is it? Be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins. We're redeemed by Christ, not because we are worthy, but because God loves us. In the waters of baptism, we're washed clean of our sins. We're joined, we're united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. And we are claimed by God as his children. And so again and again and again, we come to the Master's table. We come to the Lord's Supper and we are fed at the Master's table. We receive the banquet even though we're not worthy. God feeds us all with the bread of life and the cup of blessing, the same heavenly food that he fed his disciples and so many others so long ago. Not simply the crumbs, but the feast of bread from heaven. Our thankful response is to do as the deaf man and his friend did. Our thankful response is to go into the world and share this good news, the good news of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus commands us to go into the world, make disciples of all nations, not just a few, all nations, to proclaim the gospel to everyone, not simply those who are like us. Because when you think about it, everyone is like us, sinners in need of God's grace. We are all sinners in need of grace and mercy. As we approach these two healing stories, the Syrophoenician woman and the man who was cured of his deafness and his speech impediment, let's see ourselves in the story. Let's see ourselves how we approach Jesus in lowly estate, how we come to him with nothing to offer. Yet the acknowledgement of our sin and our shortcomings. And even in this, Christ makes us worthy, for he paid our penalty on the cross for our sin. He gave of himself so that we would live. And then he invites us to share this good news so others may become and be fed from the same table of grace. Let's pray. Holy God, gracious and mighty, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon your people, that you would fill us with your mercy and make us ready to do your will in the world, so that all whom we encounter might hear your message of grace and know that you alone are God. For you are rich in mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Grant this, we pray, in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the people of God said, Amen.